Hey guys, welcome to the B-Sides. I'm Eric, your host, and today for our guest, we have Caitlin. What's up, Caitlin?
Hi, Eric.
Yeah, Caitlin, I think one of the first things I learned about you when we met was that you really like cafe hopping, right?
Yeah.
But you only get, what, oat milk, vanilla lattes? So is that real and why? Why not just like black coffee or something?
Okay, because I think if you can master a good oat milk vanilla latte, for me personally, that says a lot about you.
Mm-hmm.
As a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're too milky. Sometimes they're too coffee.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
You know, and that might be a little bit youngin' of me. But I genuinely think like maybe just because I don't like the Americano taste or the black coffee taste. There's like a good balance with the vanilla latte. And I think that's what I...
Do you think, though, that the oat milk ever overpowers? Because I think I love oat milk, but I think when I'm drinking oat milk in a drink, it really tastes like oat milk with like a hint of coffee, especially if you're adding vanilla, right? So does it not just taste like vanilla plus oat milk?
No. I see where you're coming from.
Uh-huh.
And I agree sometimes. But I think it depends. Even this sounds so silly. But it also depends on the type of oat milk they use. Because I've seen some places use like off-brand oat milks versus like, I think Oatly's, like the barista blend is too sweet. My favorite oat milk is back home, like in my college town in Waco. There's a coffee shop called Common Grounds, which is so good. Their oat milk, maybe I'm a little weird, but I like it to be a little bit more on the watery side. Like, I don't like the feeling that I'm drinking milk
or
like
something
too thick. So if it's thinner...
But isn't that the point of the cream to like thicken it up?
I'm contradicting myself a lot right
now.
Know.
Hey, and maybe you're learning about what you like, actually. Maybe that's a positive.
Maybe. I still like the taste of it, but I feel like when it's like too oaty and it's like thick, I get the ick.
I see.
As a vanilla oat milk lover.
Yeah. Do you have any of your favorite cafes that you've tried so far? Because honestly, I don't think there's a ton of great cafes to even choose from in Virginia.
I think you're right. But my favorite one that I go to most often right now is in Arlington. It's the Goot Loot.
Oh, Goot Loot. Yeah.
I like theirs.
From Korea.
Yeah, but I don't even get like a vanilla maple. I get the maple oat latte there a lot. But I don't get like a vanilla latte there.
That place is always packed.
Honestly, though, I think because of my work schedule, whenever I go, it's empty.
Right. That makes sense. You get there, what, like 3 p.m.
Exactly.
Something on
like I'm
Tuesday.
There at the most awkward time.
Yeah, and they're like, we didn't even know people were coming. So
I'm their only customer.
Uh-huh.
I love Goot. I love Soricha because of like the Enjoy Me Latte. That one's really good.
Yep, I heard that's great.
And then I'm a sucker for... just like Blue Bottle, which is basic.
No, Blue Bottle is great. So when you go on trips then, do you get multiple oat milk lattes a day or to try
I'm really hitting
okay.
Like every cafe
yeah.
possible.
So it helps with the caffeine and it helps with you tasting different ones.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
But a cafe, you know, if you get it, you get it. Like you'll even if their drink is bad, like the aesthetic is cute.
Right,
you're like,
yeah.
I can work from home here.
Sure. Do you like more the vibe? If something has a good vibe but bad oat milk latte or... good oat milk latte, bad vibe. Which one would you prefer?
Oh, honestly, I think I'd be there more for the vibe.
Good.
I think, you know, I wanted somewhere where I can like bring my friends or like we can talk and I can like work there or like work. I mean, online shop, but like all that.
Yeah, that's working, you know?
I don't really have to work from home like
job.
That.
Yeah, there you go.
But like, I love that type of vibe. And if I don't like their coffee, then I'll just get something else. But I like being able to stay somewhere for a long time.
Gotcha. Well, Caitlin, as being one of the producers of our show, one of the questions we asked to begin is if you have any specific hot take that you'd like to share with the wider population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought long and hard about this one, and I feel like I've talked about it a lot since moving here, just because there's not one here. But there's this fast food chain called Whataburger back home. They blow everything out of the water, more than Cookout,
man.
More than Chick-fil-A, more than Cane's, more than In-N-Out.
Oh, wow. More than In-N-Out. That you lost me there. I'm not going to lie.
So... I don't think y'all just understand. It's so good. You can get a cheeseburger. You can get chicken tenders. You can get onion rings, french fries.
Okay, I can concede maybe late at night, the honey butter chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
Great.
Because you've had it.
I've had it.
Yeah.
A great great option at a solid restaurant. But honestly, I feel like when you get the cheeseburger, it's I'd rather have a McDonald's cheeseburger now.
I didn't say it was gourmet.
Okay, that's true.
It just will hit. Mm. It might look sad, but it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm. And you realize it's part of home, part of Texas,
it is,
right?
It is there part of go. Home. And you get your large little soda cup.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll steal one of the little tents for you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like part of the culture too.
Speaking of bringing home back to here, I know there's a Buc-ee's that just opened up in Harrisonburg, right? Have you visited it yet?
I've been already.
Yeah.
I went like 2 weekends ago. Uh-huh. It was so packed because I went the weekend, a week after it had opened.
Yeah. I'm sure people go like you went at least an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh,
to drive
yeah.
to there.
And the people I took went again the next weekend. It was that good. Have you been to a Buc-ee's?
I've been to Buc-ee's, yeah. Down in, I think, from between Austin and Dallas. Or yeah, and then, yeah.
Have you tried, like, the pulled pork sandwich?
Pulled pork's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have any top things that you like at Buc-ee's?
Okay, I got flamed for this when we went, and I don't understand why. Have you ever had a sausage on a stick?
No. Is there that just a sausage on a stick?
It is truly just a long sausage on a stick wrapped in a tortilla, but something about it, nostalgic. Like, you should try it. I'll bring
wrapped
you
in
one
a tortilla.
Actually. It's a plain tortilla, not even warm. Like, it's really not that fancy, but it tastes so good.
So it's like pigs in a blanket, except.
Whoa.
Like, okay. That's true. Sorry.
That's not disrespectful.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's true. What you said is what's a sausage on a stick?
It's really just a literal sausage on like a chopstick type and a tortilla is wrapped around.
Mm-hmm. So is the Harrisonburg Buc-ee's as good as the Buc-ee's
yes.
in Texas? Really? Okay.
It's like. All Buc-ee's essentially, like, they're going to be nice wherever you go.
Sure.
I had everyone go use the bathroom, even if they didn't have to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, that truly, no gas station bathroom will ever top that.
Wow. Yeah, I would agree, honestly.
Yeah, but honestly, I think the only thing was, because it's new and, like, I think the only one in that area, it was just so crowded.
Yeah.
Usually, I feel like they're not that crowded or, like, you can get around easier. But other than that, like, inside, it felt the same.
If you were to guess how many people were there, like while you were there.
Ooh, a couple hundred.
Couple hundred, okay.
Couple hundred.
And do they have parking spots or is it mostly just like the gas station?
No, they have parking spots. Okay, so you have the gas stations and then by like the further entrances, they're like actual big lots. Mm-hmm. And people were parking across the street too.
Okay, so would you say that it's worth a trip out there
as a fun
thing to do?
With friends.
With friends, yeah, of course.
I mean, if you're going by yourself, maybe not.
Okay, that'd be kind of sad.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a lot.
Maybe you really need gas from
exactly.
Buc-ee's specifically, or you really need the beaver nuggets, is that
yeah.
what it's called?
Yeah,
too.
I think it's worth.
Gotcha.
Especially if you haven't been, I feel like it's just fun.
Yeah.
But like if you're on a road trip, that's like the perfect time.
Yeah. Now we don't need to drive to like, I don't even know where the other closest one would be, Tennessee.
Yeah. Whenever I moved here, we stopped at the one in Tennessee.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I honestly had no idea there were anything even close. I thought for the longest time it was all only Texas and like maybe Oklahoma, but I guess they've been branching out recently.
I think over the past couple of years, because it definitely... And I could be wrong. I might be making this up. I'm pretty sure it used to be only a Texas thing, or I thought it was too.
Right.
But I think there's one in like Florida, like down in the South at least.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I for one am pretty glad that they're coming up here. It was great to visit when I was in Texas, so I'm excited about that. But Caitlin, to switch gears a little bit, I think going to a completely different area. I think one thing I noticed. And this is another thing I noticed when we first met is I feel like you're always very eager to help out. I think whether it's like this podcast or maybe just like even bringing over chairs or even like your profession as a nurse, I feel like you're really apt and quick to be like, oh, let me do that. Let me get that for you or something. Do you think that's something that you're consciously intentional about or do you even notice that or do you feel like it's something ingrained in you? Maybe Southern hospitality base since you're from Houston. Any ideas?
Honestly, well, thank you. I don't think I've ever noticed it. Like, even when we were talking about this podcast, for me, it was like, I have the time, why wouldn't I? And I'm good at, like, I'm a J, like, in that sense with the MBTI stuff. Like, I like planning, I like doing that. So it was kind of like more of like a, my friend needs help. Like, there's no reason why I can't either. But it's not something that I'm necessarily am like, I need to help everyone
sure.
like that. I think it's just like around me, if I notice it and I'm able, because I'm already, if I'm willing and able, like I'll just say yes.
Sure.
Maybe it's a Southern hospitality thing, but I don't know. I've never thought about it like that.
Have you never felt too tired from like helping people or accepting that you're going to, you know, offering to do something for someone, like moving someone in or something?
No, I never am like tired from that. Sometimes I think whenever I do reach out and like want to help, my main concern isn't like, oh, like I'm too tired. It's like, will I be able to help them in the best way that I can?
Gotcha.
Like, you know, even in like with the podcast or like if I was moving someone in, like, am I the best person for this? Or like, am I going to do a good job for them in that sense?
That makes sense. Speaking about Southern hospitality, though, do you think that's a real thing?
I 100% think it's a real thing.
Do you feel like there's a big difference between people from Houston versus people, not internally, but yeah.
I get it. I think, honestly, yes, I think there's a difference. I always like compare it to like everyone that I've met here. Not that they don't like small talk, like strangers that I've met, but I love elevator talk and I love Trader Joe's talk. Those are my
favorite. That's the hottest take I've ever heard.
Elevator talk. Some of my neighbors, like, we really don't know each other that well. When we're in the elevator, we're best friends. For the 2 seconds that we're going down, we're best friends. Trader Joe's, like, I will start it. Like, have you tried this?
Wow, that's amazing. That's a whole different world than anything I'm part of.
But it's like fun for me, I think. And I think it's just like, it's a small part of your day, like that you're like, let's just talk. But I also think it's maybe because I just like talking to people.
Sure, yeah.
But other than that, I think that's something when I came here that I noticed. I was like, no one really likes to do that. Or the people I've encountered so far don't love that, stranger wise.
Yeah.
Also, no one holds open the door here.
Oh, man. Is that a Southern hospitality thing or is that just an etiquette thing?
That's true. It could be an etiquette thing, like that. But I remember, you know that like painfully awkward, like it's a little too far, but you're still going to hold
it.
I do that a lot and I apologize.
Good for you, Kate.
Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, hey, I might be 50 feet away, but yeah. Hold the door.
Yeah.
But that's my like.
What about when you're holding the door open and then they like are just walk in like really leisurely over and then you're like, dude, come on.
Like, no thank you?
Yeah, no thank you either.
That's cruel.
That's, I 100% agree.
Cool.
Weren't we taught this when we were young?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I also think, this is completely side note, I got in trouble once. Back home, it's really like, even at work, we're big like, yes ma'am, yes sir type of people. Mm-hmm. And I did that here and they chewed me out, like in loving.
Really?
Like, not like, don't do that. Like, they were still like, that's sweet, but it was like, we're coworkers. Like,
sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even though, like, she is older than me, she was like, that made me feel old. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting. I actually do the same thing. Right? I don't know why I do it, but people point that out time to time. I'm like, oh, I just thought it was like a polite thing to do.
Yeah, like, but they're just like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Okay.
And I think it also makes them feel older if we call
them. I think that's what it is. And then after that, I felt bad. I was like, you're right. You're so young and you're so fun.
Well, besides Southern hospitality, did you notice any other big differences between Houston and here? I know, but they're both really humid, so I'm sure you're not missing that too much.
Honestly, yeah. And I feel like out here, maybe it's just like the communities I grew up in, everyone loves being outside, even when it's hot.
Mm-hmm,
back home, like, yeah, it was like 100 degrees, but I was just jumping from my car indoors somewhere.
Sure.
That was one thing. But nothing too crazy. I think I just, from like this area in Centerville versus like where I grew up in back home, I think that community is just different.
Right.
So it was just like a little bit getting used to that or just adjusting once I moved here.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So Caitlin, I was alluding to earlier, but you're a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
You been working as a nurse for how long?
Gosh, I started February 2022. So like almost
2 years.
4 years, mm-hmm. like 3.5 years.
And you were doing like rotation stuff during school as well though, right?
Yes.
So you've been doing it for a while now. Mm-hmm. Well, what first got you into nursing in general?
So I initially actually want to be a teacher. I spent my whole life thinking I was going to be a second grade teacher. And it's something I still want to do down the line maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But my senior year of high school, I don't know if they do this here as well, like in high school, you can go to the hospital and like shadow different healthcare specialties, like as a class. And so I did that class just for fun, kind of. And I actually fell in love with nursing. I thought it was so cool, like how they were the ones who were like really with the patients, helping them. But at that point, I'd already applied to all my colleges as like an ed major. But some of my friends actually convinced me just to like try out nursing first if I really did it and kind of see like, you know, if you don't like nursing in like college, at least in our minds, it was at that time, it was easier for us to think that it's better to go from like nursing to teaching major wise than to try and get into a nursing program around, a little bit later. But I ended up sticking it out and now we're here. So that's kind of how I got into nursing. Mm-hmm.
So what was the baseline reason, I guess, behind you wanting to do nursing? Was it mostly like you want to help people, as we were saying earlier, or is it you enjoy the healthcare industry?
Honestly, it was just getting to help people. And I am currently like a postpartum nurse and I fell in love with nursing and like postpartum as a specialty in that senior class. So just being able to like really work with families, like I love kids and like postpartum, that's like been my goal this whole time. It's just, it was so fun to be able to like play, like care for babies and also just like help the moms and like be able to talk with them as well. So that's kind of what drew me to it. But I think just being able to like be with these families and kind of guide them during like ideally like a happy time in their lives was like a big motivator for me. Mm-hmm.
I know people often say that nursing is like a really stressful job and it drains you a lot because it's almost a thankless job a lot of times. Pay's not great. Do you ever feel, not regret, but I guess frustration about the states of nursing in America or maybe just in the area that we're in right now?
I think for sure. At first, maybe it's not everyone. When I started, you kind of are just like in survival mode trying to learn the ropes of nursing. And then after doing it for a while, you kind of realize like you said, sometimes it really is just a thankless job or it's just hard to like, I guess, separate work from home. Sometimes like you want to take it home or like I'm constantly thinking about some of these patients that I've had. But I think my biggest thing that's helped me kind of navigate that in like my struggles is just like the people you work with and your coworkers, just making those connections and like making friendships like through your job has been like the biggest saving point for me. Cause they're the ones who like made it worth for me to come. Like, even if I'm not getting paid the best, I still like essentially at the core of it, love what I do. And like, and I get to work with these amazing group of people. So that's kind of been my view on it. I mean, it's still frustrating. Just like, you're just tired sometimes. I've only ever done night shift and I realize it's getting harder for me to bounce back as I get older. But as long as I kind of remember why I do it, I'm okay.
Do you enjoy doing night shift still?
I do. I think right now, I think down the line, maybe I don't know how much longer I can do it. But I think at night, it's a different pace for sure because you're not working with as many like doctors or like people on the floor.
Right.
So you really, especially as a new grad, I had more time to like really learn the ropes and like really learn the importance behind everything versus I felt like on day shift, I was just on survival mode. Like it was just about getting things done. But at night, I could learn why I was doing something or like why something was needed.
Do you think you're at a point now where you're not finished learning, obviously, but like you're pretty satisfied with your understanding of your job nursing in general? Or do you feel like still every day it's you're learning even more and you're trying to get to the point where you're happy with that?
I think I'm at a point where I don't want to say comfortable because I'm still on my toes at work sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was asked recently to like start precepting at this job. And at first I said no, because I felt way too new here, even though I've been doing postpartum for like almost 4 years now. But I think for me, being able to like precept and teach kind of like helps you grow too. And so I don't think I'm done learning everything yet. There's so many things that I feel like I can still improve on. But I definitely feel like when I look back to when I first started, I definitely feel more comfortable, at least with the basis of things.
Yeah,
it's just like how to expand and like kind of go in more in depth, if anything.
Gotcha. So what's one thing that's really tough about nursing that you don't think other people who are not nurses would really understand or grasp?
I think maybe it's not that people don't understand. I think just the emotional toll. And I don't think I expected that either. Like in the sense of like I do postpartum and that's ideal. I might relate this all back to this specialty specifically, but I was really naive when I first started that like postpartum was solely about happy times. Like you get to celebrate with these families. You kind of teach them like the beginning ropes of like parenthood, and then they get to go home and kind of start their lives. But I was so humbled and like taught like it's not really all that. And so I think when you have like cases and patients that are a little tougher in that sense, whether it's like a fetal demise or even if the baby is like alive but has to go to NICU and like odds like that, it's hard. I know they say it's like try your best to like, you know, separate work and home, be able to find that balance, but it's just sometimes you can't. And like I think the hardest part about it was like, was there something that I could have done to, you know, like make that transition easier or like help this mom? Like, did I do everything for her and the baby that I could have? So that's been my like struggle, I think, trying to navigate like, okay, or kind of giving myself that grace. Like you did what you could versus like putting the blame on it.
Gotcha. That seems really tough. Is there any solutions that work from like a professional level? Do they help out with that? Or is it kind of not expected that you work on it yourself, but almost like a toll of the job? And then, you know, you're supposed to be able to manage that with coworkers at your own pace or your friends at your own pace.
No, they definitely do try and like give you resources to kind of help with that. I think even if it's not postpartum, like nurses who do like ICU, who might see more like, oh, I feel bad saying this, but more like, you know, like death than I do, like if anything, like emotionally, they do have like mental health resources and like people that you can see. So they have that. I've never used it. Like I haven't got like dabbled in that yet here. So I'm not exactly sure how that works, but I think they do.
What are some rewarding moments on the other side then about being a nurse? Well, I'm sure if you wouldn't still be a nurse if it was all just negative stuff. So.
Oh my gosh. I think mine is just so happy. Like I love, but just seeing parents who are just like so excited for this child, or like to add to their family, to start their family. It makes you like, just like, I can't even put into words, like so happy to know that this child will grow up so loved. Or even like, you know, these people, like they care, they want to know. It can be kind of scary, like for, especially for my first time parents. Like I have a special place for like first time parents, just because it's like you're so nervous, like they're so small, and I get it. But knowing, or like them wanting to like do the best they can for them and provide like everything, and like you get to play a small part, and even if it's just like showing a dad how to change a diaper or like helping them put on their first going home outfit, it's like, okay, like you're going to do great.
Yeah.
And even parents who like have been waiting for their rainbow baby, like something like that, it's just so rewarding to be able to like be a small part of that. Like, I don't, honestly, like, I don't need to be remembered. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I hope they remember me and like everything I did for them. It's just like little things that like, you're like, okay, like, you're good. Like, please go. Like, you're doing amazing like that. And it also just made me appreciate like how wonderful, like strong women are, like through just like pregnancy and like giving birth. And I'm like, people are insane. Like they're amazing.
Yeah. I think I often hear about parents when they see their baby, like they're just in shock. They're like, oh my gosh, we created this. Like we had to take this baby home and like, we have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, they're the most beautiful, like not little like boy or girl, like just beautiful. And I'm like, yes, like they are. They're so cute.
Okay.
There's some crazy names out there, but they're adorable. Yeah. They're adorable regardless.
Okay, tough question. If you see a not cute baby, what do you do?
Hey, now. Okay. All babies are beautiful.
Of course, of course, of course. But?
I'll either go, congratulations. But no, I feel like always... I'm always just like, they're beautiful, or like, you're,
and they'll
so
grow
handsome.
Into, yes, exactly.
Grow into it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I literally, you know, those like pet names, like you call it like your pet or like your baby. Mm-hmm. All of my babies, I feel like I've evolved. I used to say sister a lot to these little babies, handsome little man, but like in your dog voice, you know, that's how I talk to these babies.
Can you give us another?
I'm like, I think my favorite is hello, mister. Like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. I can't even do it. But yeah, just congratulations if you're talking about what you're.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, that's great. So do you imagine you're going to be doing nursing for a long time in the future, or do you want to transition to that teaching, as you said?
I think, I don't know when I would really transition. I think this past year, I got my foot in the door slightly, just being able more in the Arlington, Alexandria area, start tutoring as like a book buddy at elementary school. So that was really fun. I know I might be able to start like substitute teaching in the area, like on some of my off days if I want to. But like fully transitioning, I'm not sure. I think I'll stick with nursing just a little bit longer just because cost of living, honestly, very tough out here. But I mean, I hope at least in the next like 5-10 years, if I'm not like fully teaching, at least like maybe subbing, if anything.
Gotcha. You were talking about the book buddies thing. Do you mind elaborating on that just a little bit?
I just wanted to find a way to get involved in the community like that I was like becoming a part of, essentially. And so I kind of just Googled Fairfax volunteer opportunities or Arlington. Mm-hmm. And I found this book buddies program at this elementary school, like maybe like 10 minutes from me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of reached out to them, went through the process of becoming a volunteer. And then weekly, I was basically like a sub for any tutor that wasn't able to make it. We just go over like, you're basically just trying to teach them how to like read, how to put together different sounds, words. And that made me realize how hard teaching is, because I didn't know sometimes like things that are now so simple to us, I'm like, how do I teach this?
Sure. Yeah. We just took it for granted.
Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like I sounded so goofy, but it made sense to them. And I was like, okay, it was just trying to use my brain in a different way than I had to, because I at work, it's not really about being creative. It's like more protocols.
Right.
Here, it's like you're really adjusting to like the type of learner that kid is. And so I was like, oh my gosh, racking my brain, like trying to like come up with a way if they didn't understand it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel like we don't remember how kids learn, or even
exactly.
So it's so tough to, you know, you're trying to teach someone our age something. It's so different than, you know, just like relating to a kid reading books or things like that.
Exactly.
So I'm sure that's a really fun, rewarding experience too.
It was so fun, and they asked me if I want to come back. I said absolutely. So this fall school year, I think
I'll right, because we're on break.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's cool. So is that like a weekly thing, or
it's weekly? Gotcha. Unless they don't need me that week, but
and it's like after school.
It's during school.
Oh, during school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll pull the kids for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. And I guess that works great for your schedule.
Yeah. I'm literally free during the day anyway.
Oh, that's great. Do you ever feel, I guess, last nursing related question, when you're on a different schedule from a lot of your friends who work like a 9-to-5, do you find that
it's
tough?
So hard?
Yeah.
I think especially because at night, like I'm up at 3 a.m. and I'm texting people expecting for them to be up.
Yeah.
Or I'll call people like FaceTime if I have like a quick lunch break to be like, hey, and no one's answering. I'm like, well, what are y'all doing?
Hey, yeah.
Sleeping. That's what they're doing.
Yep.
And I think sometimes it's just like, you know, most people have like more of a 9-to-5 type situation. So wanting to like hang out, like just matching up timing like that has been hard. But luckily I am off 4 days out of the week. So I have more flexibility that way. So it's a little bit easier.
That must mean your meal times are crazy though.
We were just talking. I was talking about that with someone recently, and it's just because now I get hungry at the most inconvenient times.
Yeah, I can imagine. You might need to just take a snack wherever you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll get hungry at 10 p.m. and I'm like, because that's my snack time at work. And
sure.
I'm like, oh, shoot. I shouldn't though.
Yeah. And you said your hours are like 7 to 7, right? 7 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Man, so you're working 12 hours a day, different time schedule than everyone else, and you're still thriving. That's great. That's
trying.
Yeah. And Caitlin, you said you moved here, what, about a year ago now?
Yeah, I moved here in August of last year, so almost a year.
Have you been enjoying your time so far?
It took a bit of adjusting for sure. The first couple months were hard, but now I feel like I'm a lot more in a groove, and I feel like I just kind of feel more settled, and so I like it.
Yeah, well, we love having you here. Caitlin, last thing we'd like to ask when capping off our podcast episodes is, it's just, if there's anyone you want to shout out in your life who's really influenced your spiritual walk over the years. As you just said, you've only been at CCPC for maybe like 6 months, so it doesn't have to be CCPC, but maybe someone back home or someone else besides.
Yeah, I think I kind of talked to you about it before. I know you haven't met her yet, but my friend Jennifer, she has been my friend since I was like, I think 7th grade.
Wow.
So yeah, we go back a long time. And so she was the person who kind of introduced me to faith in general. I didn't grow up going to church.
Mm-hmm,
I was kind of like her VIP to the Friday night praise events, you know, like those fun, like just fellowship events. Then I started going out to like retreats and like getting to know like the people in her church community, and just became more curious about Christianity and like God in general.
Yeah.
And so I think her, having her by my side this whole time, she's always been someone that encourages me to kind of explore, there to answer any questions that I have. She really pushes me to like be, you know, just like, or just like live faithfully, I guess. Sorry for that pause. But she, to this day, like even though we aren't in the same city and it's like, you know, we're growing up, like it's not, we're not with each other 24/7. She still checks in on me, like in that sense, not just like how I'm doing socially or anything. So I really appreciate that. And she also just like is the same, like with my entire family. I think the way that she just like lives and acts like is such a image of like God's love to me. And so really like she's been like an inspiration like throughout my life and like will forever continue to be.
Of course. Do you feel like the distance now that you guys are apart, it makes it so that your heart grows kind of fonder for each other through that distance? Or do you really feel like it's tough to maintain that same level of familiarity that you guys once had?
Oh, definitely the former, like yeah. First. Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. Sometimes I get those confused. I feel like you just appreciate so much more like the times you were together. And like now I feel like, especially with moving, I think you go through phases of like you focus on the friendships you're trying to build here versus the ones you're trying to maintain back home. Like there's never been a time where I feel like in that friendship or the ones at home that like I've like put on the back burner, if anything. Like they are the people that I want to check in. They've been with me through it all. And like I hope they're with me like through like the rest of this life too. So I'm like, oh, it definitely makes your heart grow fonder and like you just miss them. And
yeah,
but it's
it makes every time you guys see each other that much more sweeter, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like you really just want to soak in everything.
Yeah, well, that's great, Caitlin. And again, I'm glad you're here. Well,
thanks.
But that's it for today's episode, guys. Thanks, Caitlin, for coming on, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks for having me. Bye.